Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Grilling at the Green After Hours. Conversation that took place after the broadcast ended.
Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. Barclays, buysellpawn.com. Hey, welcome to After Hours here on Grilling at the Green. I'm JT. We got Steve DiPaolo with us in the studio today. If you don't know, Steve and I go back a very long time. We went to college together. We were both beaver lovers. Maybe that came out wrong. But anyway, we both graduated from Oregon State. I was almost 6 months ahead of you or something.
Yeah, around I was thinking it was around a year.
Year? Yeah. You got married a lot younger than I
did,
though.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Got married before I even got out of college.
Yeah, it was a shame. Anyway, I know his lovely wife, Crystal. I adore her. In the after-hour show, we can talk about anything we want in golf. So here's your opportunity, because this show doesn't actually air on the radio. It airs only in cyberspace.
Okay.
So you can say anything you want to anybody you want, except me. So fire away. Anything you want to get off your chest about golf?
Yeah. You know, actually, there is a little something. It's, you know, one of those like, come on, guys, figure this out. It's the new rules issue that some pros are having. And you and I just, I mean, we don't study the rules all the time, but we've seen enough stuff
right
out there on the airwaves about there's a couple issues, the drop, the, you know, the lining up by caddies, and there's a couple others, but those are the first two that come to mind. And the drop one to me is frustrating, because this has been talked about now for, I mean, going back to, you know, months or years,
right.
You know, all the ramp up to it, and then all the attention it's gotten in the last, you know, 4 to 6 months as they were being implemented in the new rule book and everything. And it just still amazes me. I know old habits are hard to break. You know, a pro has dropped the ball from shoulder height forever, right? But
we used to do it like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, over the shoulder, right. But the thing is, even if you make the mistake, you can correct the mistake, and there's no penalty. So, like, say, oh, I dropped it shoulder height, and it's like something, there must be a little light bulb that goes off either in your head, your caddy's head, someone that's playing in your group, says, hey, you know, remember, there's this new rule. Oh, yeah, right. You are permitted in the new rules to correct your mistake. As long as you don't hit that ball from the
right
incorrect drop,
right,
you're good to go. But it seems like somebody, come on, let's wake up, guys. You know, to me, it just seems, even in the little bit I've played this year, although I've played, I don't know how many rounds, but enough, almost immediately, the first time I had a drop, it's like, oh, yeah, there's this new rule, you know, and then I had to think about going through it. It seems to me someone who does it as a profession, it would pop into their brain at some point. I guess their focus is maybe stronger than mine as what they're doing, and they're kind of in their routine, and they're not, you know, the outside noise isn't happening. But for me, it's just a little bit puzzling why they can't pick up on this new drop rule in particular.
Do you think maybe for the tour pros, though, it is because that they are under so much more scrutiny? And, you know, the business we're in, there's cameras everywhere now.
Right.
I mean, it used to be just guys like us leaning against the ropes or whatever, taking pictures, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now everybody's got a cell phone, which they can legally have, and
right,
they can take videos. And I think that's the thing that is going to take over the couch commandos that were always phoning in rule infractions. Right?
Yeah, okay? That's true. Yeah.
So I think maybe I think they should know the rules.
Yeah.
I mean, the sports world that I came from before I started doing this, you had to know the rules or you just really couldn't compete.
Right.
Okay. So I think, they should know. But I think those guys that are get under so much scrutiny, they want to have a rules official there for everything that they do, just to make sure that they don't get bollocked up there.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, yeah. I think they sometimes lean on that a little too much. Like they don't even try and think about what the rule is. They'd rather just call somebody over and have them tell them.
Right.
But the problem is, you know, other than the very highest level of golf, you're not always going to be able to call a rules official.
No.
So you're going to have to figure that out and learn the rule. And, you know, that some of the guys have made mistakes, and I would imagine, at least when I make a mistake like that, I don't make that mistake again.
Right.
So I guess that's a hard way to learn the rule. But
well, sometimes I think, too, that the guys from the USGA and the RNA should actually go spend some time with weekend golfers.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell people who they are. Don't, you know, show up in Sioux Falls, show up in Eugene, show mm-hmm. up in Minot, North Dakota, you know, and watch the week play with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to grill them. You don't have to tell them you're the current president of the USGA or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sure it's not in the league that they're used to playing in, but you could get a feel for how people connect with these rule changes. And
yeah.
Because most people, you know, if they get older, if they got a little arthritis and stuff, maybe they don't bend as well. I know I don't bend mm-hmm. as well, but that's for a different reason. Instead of dropping it at the knee, maybe they could have dropped it at the hip. So maybe you could say if you're over 75, it's legal to drop it from the hip.
Right.
Or something. You know what I mean?
Well, to be honest, when that rule was first rolled out as, you know, kind of they had that period where they published the potential changes.
Right.
And they wanted input and people. And I remember reading that the drop rule, and I interpreted it as you needed to drop at knee height or higher. That was the way it registered in my brain. So in other words, you couldn't drop from below the knee. So it was still a drop. It's just, you know, but I didn't realize that if you dropped from any height other than knee height, that it was an incorrect drop, which I think if now, as I think about it, to me, it would make sense to say, yeah, anything above the knee is a legal drop. You know, between shoulder height and knee height, anything there is good. And that would take care of the old guys, the old school guys.
Right.
But it would still give the opportunity to, you know, and I think the intent of the rule is that you're not going to have as many redrops because you're dropping from a lower height. The ball's not going to bounce and roll, you know, forever. It's going to be it's going to stay in a more confined area.
Sure.
So it's going to, I think that's the intent of the rule. But, you know, if a guy chooses to drop at, you know, hip, waist height, shoulder height, I think that would be a way to adjust the rule to
or
make
just
it better.
Drop it and kick it.
Yeah.
Like you're punting.
Right. There you go.
Probably something like that. No, I just think it's interesting that you know, I certainly want to keep the integrity of the game and all of that. But sometimes I just think that maybe there should be kind of that separate set of rules for amateurs.
And I get your point about, I think the people who are writing the rules and making these decisions are probably insulated quite a bit from the average everyday golfer out there.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, they probably don't get, you know, they probably hear stories or kind of even imagine what goes on, but to actually physically see it going on, you're probably right. And then just a little bit, another rule that the caddy lining up the player one. My issue with that is sometimes the caddy's standing behind the guy, not lining him up. He's saying, I think, you know, 7-iron here, put it out over that tree on the right, bring it in to the left,
right.
You know, it's going to be your shot. And the player's saying, yeah, you're right. And he may be going into his stance, but the caddy isn't lining him up. He's talking about the shot, which is part of being a caddy. So, yeah, that one's a tough one. I don't even know how you'd write that rule. I know what they're trying to do, but it's throwing too wide of a net. I think it's capturing people in a rules infraction where they're not actually breaking the rule as they intended it to be. Personally.
Yeah. Well, you know, golf is trying. The governing bodies are trying to bring it into the 21st century, mm-hmm. little by little, kicking and screaming. And I think that's fine. I just think that sometimes they need to be, you need to write it really plainly.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't need to talk about going through the green and this and that. You know, you just got to say, hey, the caddy can't stand behind the golfer after he's addressed the ball.
Right. Well, and that's the other thing. If you read the rule books, and I know they've tried to clean this up, and I think they have to a certain extent, but there's always, it always seems like there's a rule and then there's exceptions.
Yeah.
Unless A, B, C.
Yeah, unless
know.
There's a squirrel.
So this is the rule.
With an umbrella yeah. running you
and that's
know,
what
in
makes
front
it,
of
you. That's what yeah. makes it confusing.
Yeah. Well, it confuses the hell out of me. So you're going to Pebble Beach?
I am. It's a kind of a lifetime dream. In fact, for many years, I thought, yeah, I should probably try and play that. And then I looked at the price tag, and it's like out of my price range, so to speak, for golf. But I got it talking and thinking about it more and mentioned it to a friend who belongs to a local country club. And he said, oh, we take a group down there every spring, and it's, you know, it's a fun time, and it's pretty, not a bad, you know, the price is a little better than if you just show up and go in. So I said, well, if you're going to do it, I'd love to go as your guest. And so he said last fall, maybe late summer, he said, you want to do that Pebble trip next year? And I said, oh yeah, I'm on it. So it's one of those things that,
I gave him a free golf thing.
Oh, you know the guy. Yeah, that's right.
And then he's taking you to Pebble. Yeah, there you go. All right, very good. I hate you. Anyway, thanks for coming in.
Oh, yeah.
And have a good trip, and I'll expect a full report.
Oh, sure.
And we'll be posting Steve's family outing pictures on Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
We'll do that. Until next week, I'm JT for Steve, and thanks again to Annika for being on the regular show. We'll be back. Take care. Bye-bye.